This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. New York City. Baseball is back. Keith McPherson on the Fan inside the 9 o'clock hour. My voice is coming back, but it's not about me. It's about us. It's about all of us. We'll get to the calls at 888-808-1019. When we get to 10 o'clock, we'll go out of town. We'll look at the out of town scoreboard and out of town topics. And then at 11 o'clock, we will bring back the big shot of the night. And then 12 o'clock, I'm out of here. So dial up, call up. Let us know how you feel. Let us know something you saw. If you have a question, something you just want to get off your chest, it's opening day. If there's something that, you know, you just want to speak on, bring it my way and we'll do that. I'm in here watching the Mets. I'm in here watching the encore. I hate the Astros. People think I hate the Mets. Where's the drop? I don't hate the Mets. These are my Mets. I don't hate the Mets. How can I hate the Mets? Shout out to my boy Dan, who works at MLB, who I was with today. He's a diehard Mets fan. His whole family. Love his whole family. They're Mets fans. Can't hate the Mets. I might twist a little bit of the needle. I might troll a little bit with the Mets fans, but I can't hate the Mets. They're here. They're with us. They're our neighbors. They're our brothers, our sisters, our coworkers, our family, our friends. And there's so many Yankee Mets. Right? I'm watching Clay Holmes right now. I'm looking at Carlos Mendoza. Those guys were wearing the pinstripes not that long ago. And I do hate the Astros. Like, looking at Minute Maid Park right now, I'm just like, it's a house of horrors. When the day started, I was rooting for the Mets. Hey, beat Houston. Go check out at Keith McPherson on Twitter. Beat Houston. They lost today, but they'll play tomorrow. The Yankees will not play tomorrow, and hopefully they can get a win. And, you know, I had this thought as I was going through different things during a break. I'm like, Juan Soto is pressure proof, but this is a different kind of pressure than Juan Soto's ever played with. Juan Soto has been able to answer the call every time for the Nationals or the Padres or the Yankees when it was just like, you know, lights are bright, do or die situation. But now the pressure that hangs over Juan Soto, it hangs over him in money. This is the highest paid player in sports. He has to perform like the best player in sports to make people feel like he's worth that money. He is worth the money, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's got an opportunity with two runners on at the end of the game today to come through. First opportunity to come through for the Mets, and people are expecting him to come through. When he doesn't, the narrative is, oh, Juan Soto, blah, blah. He's going to come through, but that's baseball. Like, you're not going to be able to come through every time. Josh Hader gets paid too. 888-808-1019. And, you know, speaking of getting paid, I said before the break we would look at the 2025 MLB franchise valuations that came out on The Athletic via Forbes. Of course, your New York Yankees are worth $8.2 billion. And, you know, I kind of caught a lot of flack, and I don't mind it at all because it's great for WFAN. It's great for WFAN social media and digital. The little 1 minute out of my five-hour show the other night where I talked about the gimmicks that the Mets have and the five-borough race and like Chuck E. Cheese-type mascots, and now they got a Mets house, and they got a dance crew dancing on the dugouts, and they're doing everything to sell tickets. But, like, to me, you know, winning baseball will sell tickets. A winning team will sell tickets. If your team is winning and another winning team comes to your ballpark, people are going to show up to see that matchup. Whatever. They'll get there. But, you know, I kind of caught some flack online for it, which I love, man. Send it. DM me. Write whatever you want about me. Thank you. Appreciate it. But when you're looking at the team and what they're actually worth, the Mets are in sixth place. They're worth $3.2 billion. And we talk so much about what Steve Cohen is worth. He's worth way more than that. He's worth $20-plus billion. And I think the Mets right now are just in a rebrand. And I don't hate it. I don't lose sleep over it. Like, I lose sleep over, like, yo, like, how cold is it going to be at Yankee Stadium? What should I wear? What time should I leave the house and get on the train? How long? Like, I'm not losing sleep over the Mets having a giraffe represent the Bronx with angry eyebrows and a dirty white tee. But, like, I want people to understand, like, Steve Cohen is spending a lot of his money, and he's got a great marketing team, and they are trying to rebrand the Mets, and they're in the process of it. Like, last year was a huge step in it. And I think they're going to be a winning team this year, and I think they have good players. But, like, you can't buy wins. And in this city, you're up against the Yankees, who have already done enough winning and consistently do win, and they're not buying wins. When you look at the $8.2 billion that the Yankees are worth and the self-imposed $308 million ceiling that they put on themselves, which is fine because, like, there's nobody else out there to go get. Whatever. It is what it is. Season started. Like, the Yankees don't have to add a bunch of different things from a dance crew to a mascot race to LED lights. Like, you know, and I know the Yankees have bobbleheads, and I know the Yankees have giveaways, and I know the Yankees have their own, you know, quote-unquote gimmicks, but the Yankees brand has been built over the course of the last 50 years. The Mets are trying to rebrand. And Juan Soto is a cog in that rebrand, but what I've been trying to tell my homies that are Mets fans, like, it just doesn't happen overnight. It is happening. I tip my cap to you. I see you. I see it happening. Like, I see you getting there. But the only way you get there is through winning. And so for tonight, it's opening day. All the excitement of opening day, the off season of, oh, Juan Soto left the Yankees to go to the Mets, at least for tonight, here in New York and beyond. Based off of what we saw, Yankee fans are already, I've taken three, maybe four calls where I didn't mention Juan Soto. Yankee fans are already putting Juan Soto's name out there because they saw what happened. And Yankee fans are victorious tonight. Mets fans are not. I haven't taken one Mets call yet. That's, like, there's no Mets fans listening. This is New York. It's the first night of baseball. And, I mean, obviously, it's me. I always joke, like, Mets fans don't call my show, and they don't have to. But, like, I haven't taken one Mets call about, hey, Keith, Clay Holmes was this, or, you know, I really wanted to see something. Like, Yankee fans are celebrating and enjoying the win and what they saw, and the brand is strong, and the brand is just continuing to be what it was and always has been. The Mets are still in a rebrand where, like, if you're taking anything from what I've said over these last weeks and months, the only thing that is going to change your brand, your perception, your image is winning. 888-808-1019. Joey is in Farmingdale. Joey, you're on the Fan.
Hello, Keith.
Yo.
Yo, you know, I like your show, Keith. It's only the second time I've been calling, and you really got a great attitude towards your team. And I'm a Mets fan. But you know, you have to agree with me on one thing. Soto does look good in his uniform, but, you know,
I don't have to agree on that. Really,
here's what I'm calling about. I heard next year they're going to have a review on baseball. Come on, man, with the reviews. You see what happened to football, basketball. You know, years ago, when I'm in my 60s now. Years ago, when there was a bad call, you know, we all went to work and said, all right, it was a bad call. But sometimes there was a good call. It went our way, you know? Like real men with sports. It's getting to be too crazy with the, you know, with the refs lately and the gambling. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a little, you know, cuckoo. Well, you keep...
I don't know. I don't know if it's crazy or cuckoo. We just want the calls to be correct. We want it to be accurate. We want the game to be officiated the right way. Like,
yeah, sure.
I mean, I know growing up myself, there are plenty of games that we saw where, hey, you know, we might have got one over, or the other team might have got one over, and, like, that's not technically fair.
You know, Keith, I'd like to make one more point. You know, in 73, people don't realize this, when the Mets were up 3-2 against the Oakland A's, and Willie Mays was behind home plate, and there was a lousy call in game 6, you know, and then game 7, of course, Oakland won. They never really bring that one up and show it on TV. You know, I've been around, I've been watching sports a long time, and I kind of like you deal with it, you know. And look at the whole no-hitter by Santana. It was a fair ball, you know. But it's part of the game that we always had to deal with. Now, I want to see baseball go back to the way it used to be. No more ghost running, no more nothing. Bring back the DH. Tired of it. They ruined the game. So, baseball is like a bar ivory soap, pure and natural. And I've been watching it a long time. And these new rules and everything, they don't go with us guys. You know, we're back in the 70s and 80s. You know, we watched Cincinnati Reds.
Thanks for the call, Joey. I understand what you're saying, but I wholeheartedly disagree. Like, it's 2025. If you guys don't understand, like, we're living in the future. We're where the Jetsons thought they were. Like, we are there. So, you know, things like the ABS system, the automatic balls and strikes. Like I went down to Tampa a couple weeks ago and I saw it behind home plate, and it's not going to be here this year. It might not be here next year. Baseball will probably lock out before it actually before it actually hits. But, like, I like it. I saw it in 2023 in Seattle at the at the All-Star game. When I got to Seattle, shout out to the Players Alliance bringing me out there. I saw the Futures game with the young talent. Spencer Jones was playing in that Futures game, and these young guys were able to challenge, and it added a level of suspense. It added a level of, you know, shock to, like, all right, you know, let's see what happens here. You got to get the calls right. And, you know, you mentioned football. Like, the NFL does not care because the NFL is king. They're going to keep changing the NFL. Like, I just saw... Like, you can't even do the wipe your nose celebration, which I know it's a disrespectful, like, gesture. I know what it means. But, like, you can't do the guns, you can't do the wipe your nose celebration as a first down in the NFL anymore. They're taken out of the game. And that's not a rule, but, like, the NFL will continue to tweak and change their game because they can. Major League Baseball is trying to get more fans and more eyes and people, and, like, they not it's not that they necessarily can't, but they need to. They need to get up to date. They need to get up to speed. And we've already forgotten about the little changes. Like, you guys forgot about the pitch clock already. You don't care about it. No one called today. Like, hey, Keith, Rodon was really up against that pitch. No one's saying anything about it. No one's saying anything about the shift. No one's saying anything about the bigger bases. But, like, we've moved on. And, you know, eventually in this season, we'll get to Manfred's man on second. And nobody's going to quibble about that because the games are shorter and the games are faster. And these are moves that baseball made to be more modern. You know, we're all going to age out at some point, and all this stuff is going to pass us by. We are in the future. Like, what I'm saying is, like, if you're not understanding that all of this stuff is playing off of human behavior and where we are today, like, these kids are different. Are you guys watching that? Like, I didn't even get through it. The Netflix show where in the beginning the little kid gets, like, arrested. What's it called? Adolescent. And I didn't want to watch it. One, because I'm deep into social media too, because I have an almost 2-year-old, but like I saw Dan Orlovsky tweeting about it. He was one and done too. This show Adolescent on Netflix dives deep into young kids and social media and what they're doing and what they're like, you know, how parents need to be on top of it. Like, we are in the future. There are so many things going on that, you know, sports have to adapt to. And you're going to keep watching the games. They're not going to be like they were when you were growing up. They're not going to be like it was in the 70s and the 90s in the early 2000s. But, like, they're adapting the game for the younger audience. They're adapting the game to be quicker. People's attention spans are shorter. These phones, you know, the social media, it just changed that. So that's a long and short of it. But, like, I disagree. Like, baseball is not going back. And I love baseball so much. And I love the way baseball used to be. But I understand baseball has to stay up to date and stay current, and they're going to keep tweaking the game. There's going to be a point where we're not wearing hoodies and jackets at Yankee Stadium for opening day. They're going to open Yankee Stadium in May. The season's going to be shorter. There's going to be realignment. There's going to be expansion. There's just going to be a lot of different things in the next few, like, you can bank on it. Anyway, 888-808-1019. Did I just see Juan Soto show a bunt? Shout out to Juan Soto, though. If you've heard me, you know what I said about Juan Soto? He's going to work his walks. He's going to work his walks. But when he works his walks, Alonso, Vientos, Nemo, whoever, y'all got to drive him in. Anyway, Luigi in White Plains is on the fan. What's up, Luigi? Sorry for saying like that. I'm watching this game. I'm like intrigued by it right now. Like, what's going on?
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Just coming back from Yankee Stadium. Went to opening day. Love going open day. We had a great time. Yankees look good tonight. We're all happy. Just left the Phillies.
It's a good feeling. Shout out to Billy's. Shout out to Joey. Shout out to George. Shout out to Joey's pops. Everybody in Billy's. I didn't get to go to the, you know, after party that Billy's is. It was packed in there. You know, win or lose, we booze. But if we win, we get it in. I'm sure you guys.
Had
a good time.
Day. Love it. Love it. Unfortunately, I'm driving, so all my boys are—they did what they had to do, and I'm the sober one, so I'm the good boy tonight.
Yeah, but you know that'll switch up eventually. Sometime in the summer, you'll be in the back seat. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Like, that's another thing about Yankee Stadium too. You know, I was going back and forth with someone. Someone's like, "Oh, you don't like fun? You're criticizing the Mets adding a 5-borough mascot race?" I'm like, "I like fun." I just the thing about, like, the Yankees don't need to add a mascot race that the Brewers do or the Pirates do or the Nationals do, because we go in there, we'll have enough fun watching the pitching and hitting and defense. And Yankee fans, we spend so much time outside the stadium. We spend more time outside the stadium than in the stadium. Like, stands opened at 9:30. I was over there like 10:30, 10:40. Like, there were so many people outside the stadium today. The game, like, especially with this pitch clock and everything, even Devin Williams kind of struggled a little bit. The game was 3 hours. There are folks that spent 6 hours, twice as long, outside of Yankee Stadium. And that's great. That's great. I know they're going to build a casino. Yeah, you know, at Citi Field, I know they're going to change all that. But, like, Yankee Stadium as is, whether it's the dugout, whether it's Yankee Tavern, whether it's the Bronx Drive House, whether it's Stan's, Billy's, Bodega, Courthouse Deli, like, we're good. We know what to do out there. Gary's in Monroe, New Jersey on the fan. Go for it, Gary.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about the Yankees a little bit because they got the win today. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a Boone fan, and I don't like the lineup. I thought the lineup is like a put together like by Steinbrenner. The way it's gonna go down
with Steinbrenner.
The way that like the owner of the Yankees, because why is Wells leading off? Like, what sense is he making this lineup? You have so many guys that can lead off.
You can have
Chaz leading off. You can have Volpe leading off. In the long run, it's going to bite him. And let me tell you something. The way the World Series ended last Lish, I still have a bad taste in my mouth from the way the Dodgers just beat us up. You know what I'm saying? And I can see it this year, too. And let me tell you something. Stroman has to have a good year this year. Stroman has to represent this year because the pitch is there, but looks like they're injured. So if Gil, where is Gil at? You know what I'm saying? We need Gil.
He'll be back.
Gil's a big part of this. Huh?
He'll be back. Thanks for the call, Gary. I'm not on that at all. I'm not on that at all. 55 minutes ago, the New York Yankees posted, catching some baseball history, as you speak on Austin Wells and you say that the lineup is like a Steinbrenner put it together. I don't know what that means. Austin Wells is the first catcher since 1900 to hit a leadoff home run on opening day. You cannot call and criticize that move. Aaron Boone and the New York Yankees look like geniuses because the pop that we saw from our left-handed hitting catcher carried over from spring right into opening day. And as far as like the injuries and like Stroman, we haven't seen Stroman pitch yet. He will be back. Whether it is Max Fried, who like, you know, shout out to Max Fried. He's about to pitch on Saturday. It's hot out there. And let's see it. It's not the time for pessimism, not after what you saw today. And, you know, talking about the Yankees last year is over. The World Series last year is over. Like, one of the first things I said in my open was, like, today was a day that you create a new memory at the stadium to erase that last memory that you had if you were at the stadium to watch the Yankees blow Game 5, which I was. That's over. Let it go. They are starting to write a new script. They are starting on a new adventure. You got to let it go. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the fan. Call me up. We'll be right back after this. Still here. All right, let's get right back into it, man. I mean, it's 9:30. I'm on till 12. In the 10 o'clock hour, we will go to the out-of-town scoreboard in Major League Baseball. But, like, Rami just hit me during a break. He's like, the Pacers scored 162 points. I'm like, what? And now I'm looking at this box score. Everybody on the Pacers can get some tonight. Like, the Pacers had, like, 15 guys score tonight. March Madness is on. You know, speaking of scoring.
Dude, in regulation. And I know the Wizards are like a G League team, but still.
But still, 162 crazy. Points in an NBA 48 game.
48 minutes.
The pace didn't slow down for the Pacers.
With 5 minutes to go in the fourth, I saw somebody post that at 150.
Yeah, but they came out of the gate. They scored 45 in the first quarter.
Yeah, only had 12 points in the last 5 minutes.
Halliburton had 29. In about 10 minutes, Duke will face off against Arizona over there in Newark Prudential Center. If you're into basketball, you're into drinking, and you're into a good time, Saturday we'll be at Red's Beer Garden, myself, WFAN, and Bud Light, playing Papa Shot, watching hoops, talking sports, taking pictures, probably taking some selfies, shaking some hands, and, you know, I think 5 o'clock we're going to do that Saturday if you're in Newark or in the surrounding area in New Jersey and you want to come out. But, yeah, we will dip into Major League Baseball. Speaking of scoring runs, those Baltimore Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles are back at it on opening day. They got something to say about the AL East. We'll get into more of the opening day scores and what happened around the league, and we'll talk a little basketball. We'll talk a little NCAA, March Madness, and NBA. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the fan. I got to get to these calls. There's people waiting, and like I said, I have this like secondhand feeling of waiting. I remember I've never been able to call WFAN and get on successfully, and I met at least three people today that are like, I try to call your show and I can never get on. So let me stop talking. Let me take these calls. Sasha is in Norwalk, Connecticut on the fan. What's up?
Sasha, that's me. You know who I am. You know Tim.
Yeah, Tim is your boyfriend.
Yes. So anyway, so what you said earlier, I was really impressed by. Because you said you were talking about the Mets and like how they have like all their theatrics and all this bullshit. We don't need.
She should still be there. She should still be there. Yo, this is a children's program. Go on. We just got to clean it up for the kids listening at home. Go on, Sasha.
All right. Well, I am. But that's it. I'm very impressed by what you said.
Yeah, it's just how I feel. It's just the reality of it. Like, the Yankees brand has been built over so many years and seasons and games, and you just kind of, you know, you expect them to win, and like, they don't need to do too many things. And, you know, it's funny, Sasha, right? Like, when they decided to let their players grow beards, there was a Met fan narrative of Juan Soto broke this franchise to the point where now they're letting their players grow beards because Juan Soto left. And I just thought that was so, like, out of pocket and out of left field and asinine. I'm like, it's got nothing to do with Juan Soto. Juan Soto can't even grow a beard.
Yeah, but could I say one thing, though? Like, Juan Soto, like, you know, almost $800 million. You know, good luck. How'd that work out?
It's most likely not going to work out. Thanks for the call, Sasha. Shout out to Tim. Shout out to Sasha and Norwalk. Appreciate you guys. You know, I'm on the interwebs as my voice is coming back. I told you, once we get in the 9 o'clock hour, it's going to come back. I just know I've done this before. Timing. I go to stadium. I yell. I scream. This is not my first show on WFAN you guys have ever heard me come. Yo, I'm coming from the stadium. Yo, I was yelling. Duh. So I'm on Twitter. And before I was talking about how the Yankees are worth $8.2 billion and the Mets are worth $3.2 billion, and Steve Cohen's looking at that like, bro, come on, bro, I'm worth $21 billion, whatever. I'm on Twitter, and shout out to Joseph. Joseph kind of just broke it down for me in a way that I wasn't even thinking about. He says, well, if the Mets are worth $3.2 billion, Soto's opt-out max contract is worth $800 million, I think $805 million. And if you add the suites and the Clover Club and his mom's dresses, blouses, and purses, the contract is worth over 25% of what the team's total value is. So, like, he broke that down with me on time. I'm like, well, when you put it like that, it sounds insane. Even if your owner is worth $21 billion. Like, that's an immense amount of pressure for one baseball player to live up to in a sport where you're going to fail 70% of the time. But this is not about Juan Soto. This is about opening day. Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. The Yankees are back. Anthony's in Brooklyn. Anthony, you're on the fan.
Hi, Keith. Great show. I want to ask you a question regarding Devin Williams. I don't want to sound like this Yankee fan who freaks out after just one game, but I'm a little nervous. The story with Devin Williams, I feel like he might have the same problem with in the NBA and Ben Simmons when he had that terrible like problem in the playoffs when he blew the playoffs for the Sixers. I feel like after giving up the home run.
Sorry. Ben Simmons. I'm a Nets fan. The Ben Simmons comparison, it just triggered me. Please do not compare Devin Williams to Ben Simmons. Today was not a playoff game. Was it a pressure cooker because it's opening day? Definitely. But that's his first time.
No, I'm not trying to compare him. I'm trying to compare not the part that he's the same player. I'm a little nervous after giving up that home run to Alonso last year. Maybe like it messed with his brain and now like he's like all like still thinking about that home run like the same way Ben Simmons. I'm not comparing them.
Nah, thanks for the call, Anthony. You think Devin Williams, who was at the Knicks game last night, feet on the hardwood, Devin Williams, who was standing on the mound as they played Frank today, you think Devin Williams is thinking about Pete Alonso hitting a home run off of him in Milwaukee in the wild card game? I don't think anybody was thinking about that until you said it on air. What I'll say is, again, baseball is a sport of failure. These guys are not going to be perfect because it's impossible. It's a huge adjustment for this guy. This guy actually might be labeled as the guy that changed the Yankees beard policy. He might be that guy forever. He might be labeled as the one player that got the Yankees to say, all right, 49 years is enough. Devin Williams went out there today, and I watched how he pitched. It was shaky. But that's his first day on the job, in the building, opening. It's tough. He's a long way from Milwaukee. What is it, American Family Field? It used to be Miller Park. I don't know. I was out there a couple years ago. I don't even know what it's called. If you guys have ever been out there in Wisconsin, it's a way different vibe than it is in New York. Like, it's chill. It's chill. Give him a minute to adjust. Like I said, when his song came out, I almost hit the you know, Siri to be like, hey, Siri, what song is this? Because when I met him at the Pinstripe Pride event, I said, yo, are you going to come out to the same song? He's like, nah, it's going to be, you know, something different. It was a surprise. I'm like, I had no idea what song he came out to. All of this is new. Devin Williams was rated as baseball's best reliever. MLB Network had him as the number one reliever, the airbender pitch. Did I expect today to be lights out, his first time in Yankee Stadium? No. But he got through it. The Yankees won. He didn't blow it. He could have blown it. It's got nothing to do with Pete Alonso hitting a homer off him, which was spectacular. That's in the past. He needed to change the scenery. He's in New York now, and it was cold today, and it was windy today, and they got a win today, and he's going to have plenty of opportunities to help the Yankees get wins. Don't compare him to Ben Simmons. Don't think that he's thinking about last year. He's a human being. He's a baseball player. He's a reliever, a closer, a pitcher. It's not always going to be, you know, striking out three guys in a row, and then we're out of there. Rami, you had something?
Yes. Some caller, I don't know, it was a great point, so I don't know if he got through. He may not have waited, but it was a great point. He thought that Devin Williams actually built himself a little cachet with the fans because he showed that he could work his way out of it. We know yeah. that in the past,
because if it was Clay Holmes,
when he got in trouble, he couldn't work his way out of it. Whereas now, okay, the nerves were hitting, first time in Yankee Stadium, all the things you said, but then he was able to work his way out of it. Now you're not as nervous about him. Next time he gets into a little bit of trouble, you trust that he can work his way out of it.
Yeah, what a difference that is, right? With Clay Holmes, that stadium would have been more uneasy than it was. Like I said, shout out to the little guy that I met. He had a first baseman's glove in Delta. He started booing, and I'm trying to teach the young guy, nah, don't boo our guys, bro. We need this guy. It's the first game. Don't bleed. Stop. Don't boo him. Don't boo him. If it's Clay, that stadium flips to, oh, we're about to lose. But I think a lot of us were sitting there like, let's see. Let's see it through. It's his first time. They'll back him up. He got through it. He got through it. So I wouldn't bring up Ben Simmons. I wouldn't bring up Pete Alonso. Devin Williams is one of the best closers in the game, one of the best relievers in the game, and he's going to become like the Yankee closer, but it's not going to happen the first time out. It might not happen the first month out. He got through it today, though. 888-808-1019. Jose's in the Bronx on the Fan. What up, Jose?
Yo, what's up, Keith? Big fan of you, man.
Thanks.
But I'm going to tell you something. You making excuses already about that. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a Mets fan. But you making a big excuse off of, listen, Devin Williams, I was not expecting him to do the three and out, and, you know, everybody start spreading the news. But my boy was over there nervous as hell, talking about, oh, my God, what is this? And the beard, like you said, yeah. He even changed that culture about with that damn beard stuff. They should have kept that. I'm gonna listen to you, but I'm gonna tell you something, man. You coddling him. You coddling him.
Why would I coddle him? What are we talking about? Hold on, like I'm confused, bro. He got a save today. The Yankees won today. Okay, he threw 36 pitches today. That was more bullets than I thought he needed to throw today. But like, I'm not coddling him. How much are they paying him? They're not paying him anywhere near what they're paying Juan Soto. They're not paying him anywhere near what you're going to pay Clay Holmes. Like, all I'm saying is it's baseball. Were we coddling Luke Weaver when he started? Luke Weaver came out. It was obviously ridiculous. It was like, wow. All I'm saying is it's the first day on the job. You guys never had a first day on the job? You guys never moved? You guys never started with a new company? Yeah, they might have paid you the salary that, you know, it took to get you to move from the company to the next company, but like your first day, you got to figure some things out. Devin Williams is Devin Williams. He's got to become New York Yankees closer, Devin Williams, the first ever with a beard. 888-808-1019. Man, we're going to come back. We're going to get to these phones. And then when we get into 10 o'clock, we'll start talking. I'm like actually watching this Mets game. It's the bottom of the fifth. It's 3-0. And I start to understand, like, okay, Clay Holmes and what's going on here. We'll look around the rest of the league. We'll talk a little hoops and basketball. But I really want to get the rest of these Yankee fans that watched the game today, went to opening day, and just to weigh in on what you saw, what you thought, and how you're feeling. Because this is positive. I know some people are going to call it some negatives, but this is a positive night. This is a good feeling tonight. And you'll sleep good tonight. Keep McPherson on the fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. Yeah, yeah. I feel like I'm getting my voice back. I told y'all, though. Keith McPherson on a fan. I told you it wouldn't be the whole show. Like, the game ended hours ago. I'm starting to sound like me now.
That was
like,
all the way back now. Yeah.
I feel like I sound like my regular self. You know, I've been talking, but I haven't been screaming. I haven't been yelling. I don't know. I'm the type in there. Two strikes, two outs. Let's go. I can't do it because then I'm going to take my voice back. I'm the type in there. Jazz comes up. Let's go, Jazz, right now. Come on, Jazz. Do it, bro. I know he didn't do it, but you understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm that kind of fan. And it doesn't matter if I'm in Delta Suite. It don't matter if I'm in the suite level. It don't matter if I'm in 203. It doesn't matter if I'm on a terrace, shout out to the terrace squad. Like, I'm involved with the game. I don't know. I think I told y'all this. I didn't grow up going to the stadium. I think when you young guys tell me that your parents take you to the stadium, you know how many young guys I saw, like, their fathers, their mothers brought them to the stadium? I'm like, yo, tell your parents you love them, bro. And shout out to my parents, whatever. We didn't have the means. Nobody was doing that. But, like, that's why I'm a fiend for this now. That's why I'm going to keep going to opening day. That's why I'm going to keep going to 40 games a year. That's why I'm going to keep doing this because, like, I don't take it for granted. I might not be here next year. So why would I go to the stadium and be quiet? You feel me? Like, why would I go to the game when I grew up watching the game like it was a TV show, yelling at the TV in the living room? If I'm actually in there, they can hear me. 888-808-1019. Let's take these calls when we get into 10, in the 10 o'clock hour, when we get inside 10 p.m., Rami and I are going to start hitting y'all with some things you need to know in the sports world. But, like, this is WFAN. This is the Yankees Radio Network. This is opening day. You're supposed to be calling the fan and living in this. You're supposed to be celebrating this, especially, like I said, after what we had to go through as Yankee fans from, I don't even need to rehash. You know what we had to go through the last 4 months. So 888-808-1019. Let's get back into it. Lou, Westchester County, you got it. You're on.
Hey, Keith. Just calling you from a different perspective. I'm a big Yankees fan, but there's a couple of things. I don't understand. Perhaps you could clarify this for me. I didn't even realize how left-handed dominant the Yankees are. Even their backups are left-handed.
Yeah, rare. So,
and not knowing the position Hal Steinbrenner is in, I'm not sure why. I thought that it would have been the perfect fit to get Jose Iglesias. Not that he's a superstar or anything, but I thought he fills so many needs.
Yo, Rami, get the OMG drop ready. Jose Iglesias, he's on the Padres. Nobody in baseball was bringing him in. I think a lot of people in baseball thought he was a sure lock for Steve Cohen and the Mets, and like, why would you even put out an offer when the richest owner in the sport can just, bring him back? I don't know. I'm not thinking about Jose Reyes. Thanks for the call, Lou. Okay, so you know what's funny too? I was talking about this at the stadium with somebody about how many. There it is. Yeah, let this be the under. Yeah, Jose Iglesias. He might as well be Mr. Met. Well, not anymore, but like, I've never seen a pop star be an all-star for a team like he was and then be disregarded like, he can't do it again. We don't need him. We don't need the vibes. We don't need the soundtrack. We don't need the OMG sign. Maybe if they had the OMG sign, we might have got a homer today. What's the new homer celebration for the Mets? You know, that's the calculus, right? Like, there are analytics, there are numbers, but then when you take out a guy like Candelita, I'm like, I don't know. But I don't know how many times on The Fan I said, we don't need him on the Yankees. And the Yankees, like, I know y'all think I'm trolling or y'all think I'm gonna, from my experience talking to people that work for the Yankees, the Yankees do not want to be like the Mets. They'd rather be like the Red Sox than be like even with the players that we're relying on now, like Stroman, Carlos Carrasco, the Yankees do not want to take a Met freshly from Queens and put him in the Bronx. They'll let him go somewhere else. All right, then Stroman go to the north side of Chicago. Carrasco go back to Cleveland. Then Dom Smith, you go journey around. Like, so if you're a Yankee fan looking at this left-handed lineup, which, like, I joked about this a couple days ago. Like, we were relying on Rougned Odor for left-handed hitting, Mike Ford for left-handed hitting. Brett Gardner, shout out to Brett Gardner, not trying to make a joke about Gardy. And tonight I'm going to tell my story about Gardy, which I've told, but I was like, I should have told this a couple days ago, but I was so hurt over what happened with Gardy's son, but I got a positive Gardy story to tell. Like, Yankees fans are used to the Yankees not having enough left-handed hitting and enough left-handed pitching in their ballpark, which is like built for that. Now we have all this left-handed hitting, and we're looking for Jose Iglesias to be signed. Nobody in baseball wanted him. He went back to the Padres after, like, John Heyman had lunch with him and wrote this whole article about how the Mets must sign him. It didn't work out. Like, that didn't happen. Carlos is in Queens on The Fan. Go for it, Lowe's.
Hey, what's happening, Keith? You know, I'm happy, you know, opening day and everything, but you have to be the biggest Met troll. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'll be watching you or, like, just, you know, obviously, you know, I enjoy listening to you, but...
On the internet? You know, I'm good at it on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, I am
pretty good at it.
You all over. You out there. You know what I mean? I be getting responses, people at work. And,
somebody like, has to. Like, you know, like, it warms my heart. Like, I had a video the other night where I was like, yo, these Mets fans be DMing me, and I set it up. And my DMs are open. They used to be closed. When I first got on The Fan, people were, like, super negative and racist, and I was getting all these crazy messages when I got on WFAN, so I closed my DMs. But I opened them back up. And so I said, like, how Mets fans DM me, and now I got all these Mets fans like, yo, you hate the Mets. You're about to, like, good, whatever. Like, it's all entertainment. It's all fun. If younger me was told that I'd be the biggest Mets troll and hater and I'd be the best at it, younger me would be like, hell yeah.
I love it, though. But listen, happiness doesn't last long in a poor household. So, you know, enjoy the victory. You know, we lost today and everything. And, you know,
why, how does that analogy work here? You out of here, Brody. I gave you a chance. Happiness doesn't last in a poor household. The Yankees are a poor household, or am I poor? I'm not poor. How does that work? Listen, WFAN historically has been heavy Mets energy. WFAN currently is heavy Mets energy. What I've been telling folks is I bring balance to the force. This is all entertainment. It's WWE. I play up a lot of it. I lean into it. It's part of my shtick, my character. And I don't really have any shtick or character. The same way you hear me right now is the way you might have heard me at the stadium. Probably now, because, like, my voice is back. This is how I was talking at, like, 11, 12, 1, 2. Once we got in there after 2, I was, let's go, Yankees! But this is fun, no? I've heard so many ridiculous things about the Bronze Bombers. I've heard so many, like, ridiculous things about Little Brother. I'm not supposed to give some of that back? Of course I am. It's about to be 10 o'clock. We're going to hit you guys with an update. When we get into the 10 o'clock hour, we're still going to take your Yankee calls at 888-808-1019. But we're going to sprinkle in some sports outside of the Yankees and the Yankees' 4-2 win over the Brewers on opening day. This is your nighttime host, Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back.